Hey. All right. Two. Oh, shakes already. Okay, I'm just going to pray as well before we begin. Let's do that. Oh, Lord, thank you, Father God, that you're here with us. Lord, will you just prepare our hearts this morning? Maybe know of your goodness to us and your love for us, that you love us more than we can ask, more than we can even imagine. So Lord, I just pray that you'll settle my heart this morning as I read what I've prepared, and just pray your Holy Spirit will be at work within each of us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Okay, so new beginnings. I wonder what this year has in store for you, for our church. More importantly, what does God have in store for you and for his church? What comes to mind when you think of new beginnings? Might be a new birth in your family, a new relationship, new school or classroom, change of career. Could be a new house in an unfamiliar suburb, or maybe a new time of life transitioning into retirement. What are your hopes and dreams? We often reassess at the beginning of a new year, having time to pause and reflect, but also to dream of the future. Are you feeling excited? Maybe thinking too far ahead is just too much right now. Maybe you're just trying to get through the week or even this day, and the future seems daunting. Whatever place you are in, God is there with you, making a way forward with Him. God is the God of new beginnings. Now, just see if I've got this right. Oop. Yes, this is our passage that I'm going to be focusing on this morning. It's from Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 21. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." It says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." Well, what are the former things? In the verses preceding, it says, "Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Oh, so this is what the Lord says, "Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King." This is what the Lord says, "He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." Now, God says He will bring down the Babylonians. Bringing down the Babylonians is actually a future event that God will do in the time that Isaiah was speaking. God is outside of time, and so He is looking beyond the judgment of the Israelites, which was enforced by the Babylonians at the fall of Jerusalem, to the downfall of the Babylonians by Cyrus, the king of Persia. So we heard last week from Dan that the Lord moved the heart of King Cyrus to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and made a proclamation that any Jew could return to build the temple, and a remnant embarked on the journey back to Jerusalem, and God made a way through the wilderness. Now God is saying, "Forget these things. I'm telling you about them now before they happen, so you won't be surprised, because I don't want you to dwell on them. I'm going to do something new." He's not saying to blot them out completely, but he's saying, "Look ahead. What am I doing next? Look to the future. There is more to come, Even better than this, more significant than this, I am doing a new thing. God is looking beyond their punishment and forward to forgiveness, looking ahead to future redemption. God's heart is for us. He wants his best for us. He knows we can get stuck in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Isaiah's words look forward to the one who will redeem his people, redeem them from slavery to sin. They prophesy about Jesus, God's one and only Son coming into the world. See, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Well, for the people in Isaiah's day, God had planned immeasurably more than they could ask or imagine. We read that in Ephesians. Many didn't see it, and they chose to remain in Babylon. The remnant was alert and were stirred to return to Jerusalem. It's the same today. Do you perceive it? Are you alert? Are you stirred to change, to return to God? We have the privilege of living after the new thing, after Jesus, God's Son's life on earth. We live after his birth, after his death, his resurrection, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The disciples couldn't imagine all that God would do either, and Jesus had told them. God had planned back in Genesis 3:15, and God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, that he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. God knew what needed to be done to make a way back to himself, to bridge the gap, to pay the ransom for our sins committed against God. Jesus fulfills this prophecy. The Old Testament shows us over and over of God making a way out of slavery and a way back to himself. In the New Testament, it is the same story for us. God has made a way out of slavery to sin, a way back to himself through the cross. God sent Jesus into the world as a baby who grew into a sinless man. He was then accused, arrested, trialed, and then sentenced to crucifixion for claiming to be the Son of God, which in fact he was. On the cross, Jesus defeated death and paid for the sins of the world and was raised to life after the third day. He is now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. God has made a way for you and a way for me. The offer is for all people. Now that is good news. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's Jesus that springs up. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, says the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God can do all things, and he is worthy of praise. So as we look at the new beginnings, at the beginning of this year, remember God is the God of new beginnings. God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, including us. At the creation of the world, everything was new. God made a new covenant with Noah and his family after the flood. God chose Abraham and he left the land of Ur. He didn't know where he was going. It was a new beginning with many new encounters and experiences along the way. Rachel, one of Jacob's wives, was unable to have children, and God sprung up and enabled her to conceive. A couple of weeks ago we heard from Mandy about Job, who lost all of his family as well as his worldly possessions, but God restored abundantly to Job more than he had before. New beginnings. In Revelation 21, verse 1 to 5, Paul says, he saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And then further on in verse 5, he says, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. One day in the future, God will restore all things to what he intended in the beginning, what he intended at creation. Ask Jesus for eyes to see the new thing he is doing. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, "The unfolding of your words give light." It gives understanding to the simple. To perceive what God is doing, we need to read his word, to go to the source of the spring. Now it springs up. Remember earlier in the verse, water in a wasteland often does just spring up and appear as if from nowhere, because we can't see the source. But the source is there. Sometimes God springs up and we want to shove him back down. God might be wanting to do a new work in us. He might be wanting us to slow down and spend some time with him, or deal with an issue we have or a habit that is hard to break. It might be anger. It might be a broken friendship. It might be pornography or hours on social media. Anything that is not bringing God glory. This is the hard work of sanctification, God making us to be like Jesus, putting down the old life for the new life with him. He says, "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." As we look at these verses now in 2024, we can see God's prophetic word. God sent his son, the new thing, into the world. "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." We see the pattern of God saving his people. The exodus out of Egypt, the exodus out of Babylon, the exodus out of our old way of life, leading them out of slavery, leading us out of slavery. Yeah, our problem today is not some of the bigger problems we see around the world, the war in the Middle East, Russia, artificial intelligence, or disease. Our problem today is sin. Sin runs through the middle of each of us. Sin is the real problem. God is making a way out and a way back to himself, and that's to the cross. God sent Jesus to deal with sin, sending Jesus where sin has caused people to lose their way, sending Jesus where there is drought and famine and sickness, sending Jesus where there is addiction and homelessness and depression and broken families and rebellion, sending Jesus where all hope has been lost, to rain down his spirit, to give new life, to give a new beginning, to give hope. Like the Israelites, we can fall back into old habits and let the old life creep back in. The old way can seem comfortable. It's like when we're trying to make new habits, and it might even be with exercise. It's easier just to sit on the couch. I will do it tomorrow. We're trying to make a new way or a prayer time in the morning, say, you've got to get out of bed first to do that. Those old habits are really hard to break. But we can look to God. He is active and making a way back to himself out of slavery. God is full of grace and forgiveness. In his doing and his making, he's providing a way to live through his son Jesus, and gives us all we need to live this new way with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of his word, the Bible, and the gift of his people, the church. He says, "I am making a way, and I am providing water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Will you put aside your old way of life and begin anew with Jesus? From verse 20, it says, "The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wasteland and streams in the wasteland." God is the great I am, the creator and provider. He does provide water in the wilderness for creation, for wild animals and jackals and owls. He practically provides for animals, and he practically provides for us. Matthew 10, verse 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your father's care?" gives drink to his chosen people, the people he formed for himself. In Leviticus 26, verse 12, it says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. We have the opportunity to start fresh with God each day. And he says, my mercies are new every morning. Being able to start fresh with God each day is such a blessing. I know I have days where things don't go well and I'm irritable and grumpy and it's hard to shake. But I know that each day is a new day with new mercies from God, and that is comforting. I can go to the source of life and ask for help, ask for forgiveness, ask for discernment, and be thankful that I'm alive, and ask for peace. Each day is a new day. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can hand over our burdens to Jesus and he will help us carry them. We hand over our sin at the foot of the cross and live free from the burden of guilt. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, it says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. God chooses to no longer hold our sin against us. He has placed the weight of sin on his Son on the cross and rendered sin powerless. God has provided the streams, the water to drink for his people wherever they are, wherever we are. Jesus is the living water. He is available, just like turning on that tap in the kitchen. Why would God do all of this for us? Because he chose us to be his people. Why? So that we may proclaim his praise. God has made us new. As we spent time in this passage this morning and reflected on the beauty of salvation, may we remember all that Jesus has done for us. I'm struck by God's loving kindness to us and to me. Jesus has brought us and me out of darkness, out of the slavery of sin, and into his marvelous light, new life in him. I want to finish by praying as Paul prayed for the Ephesians for you, that out of God's glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.